Good morning, church. How is everyone this morning? For those of you who are new, and it looks like I may be new, I'm not. I am the oldest person in this church. I didn't look for it, but it just happened as life goes along. Anyway, and we've been away for a while. The Lord's blessed us to be in some warm country. But just thinking about some of the things that were mentioned this morning, about there's so much more that we can do. And, you know, I love this church. I love this body. And I just want to give you some contrast. So River of Life began in a living room in 1995. So 26 years that we've been here. And we've grown. And one of the things that I love about this church is we do outreach into the community. And we've been consistent at it. And having said that, there are times, and as Nikki had said, is there more? Did we hear that much and say, Lord, that's all I can handle? Is there really more? And with that, I watch. One of the things that's such a joy is to watch the little ones. And we're blessed with many children. And I say, oh, they're so beautiful. They're so lovely. But their parents take them home, and they deal with all the issues, and I can just sit back and say, oh, they're so great. you know what I mean. Yes, but it's a joy, and they're special. We pray for them regularly. So I'm saying all of that to introduce Celia. So they were here 4 years ago the first time. Celia and her husband, Roberto, are SO Missions, who we've been supporting for 4 years. I just talked to Celia this morning, and the reason I wanted to give you a reference of how long we've been around. Celia and her husband have been on the missions field in Malawi and Mozambique for 30 years. 30 years away from their home country, dealing with children. Not just, oh, you're lovely as I see you in church, but every day trying to feed them, teaching them, loving them, with zero help from the government. Zero, nothing whatsoever. And as you may know, in Africa, at first it was the AIDS, thank you. First it was AIDS, so there are many, many, many orphan children, many with their grandparents who are poor beyond anything we can imagine. So when they come to the school, that's the only meal that they get. And I don't want to take anything else from Celia, but they're dealing with children. Is it over 900 now in the school? 1,500. When we first started, it was 700, 750. So they have doubled that number just since we've known them 4 years ago. So with that, I want to introduce my sister Celia to have her come up and share with us the missions, what they're doing, and how we can help. Please.
Good morning. It's really a pleasure to be here in this morning with you. I love this church. I have been in so many churches, and I'm telling you, it's not easy to find church that you feel comfortable when you are among them. And I really feel very comfortable here. Amen. Once again, I want to tell you that my English is not that perfect. Sometimes my grammar is horrible. I can make mistakes, but I know that you understand me very well. Amen? Robert sent greetings to you. He is preaching in another church, and he could attend with me this morning. But we are together here. We came in January because our son and his wife, they have their first baby in February 8th. And now I am a grandmother of two. Praise God. I'm getting old. You know what? It has been a tough time to do mission in Africa. It's always hard. But during the pandemic time, it is worst. And sometimes I feel like, wow, God, oh, when all these things will finish? Because it is turning 30 years this year. And I don't know, if I cry, forgive me. I don't know how to deal with people suffering and doing nothing. I can't deal with this. If I see someone suffering, I want to do something to help this person to get better. This is something that you can show it a mercy gift or a mercy ministry. This is how I work. There is no way for me to see someone suffering and just give my back and go live my life. It's very hard for me. And because of that, I suffer a lot in Africa because I'm dealing with people in need all the time. And during this pandemic time, I don't know if you are following the situation in Brazil. I am from Brazil. And we are having many problems in Brazil, financial, social, political, and even spiritual. I have some church that help us here in the USA. This is the church that help us more. The finance that we receive from the church is the bigger amount that we receive. But in Brazil, we work in two countries. We separate the offering that we receive from USA, especially this church, to send to Malawi. And in Brazil, we send to Mozambique. But as we are having so many problems in Brazil, so our finance is really down. That is okay. God is faithful, and He never fails us. Amen? There is this song that, "You never fail me yet." I don't agree with this song. Because He never fails and He will never fail. Amen. Amen? When I sing this song, I say, "You never fail me, yes." I never say yet. Because there is no this yet with God. Amen? And so, He is faithful. Every month He does a special miracle. I know that He performed great in our ministry, in our lives, but I am human, and sometimes I feel very sad because I see, I wish I could do more for more people, okay? So, but I'm not speaking about this right now. What I'm going to do, I'm share the word with you about 20 minutes, and after I show some pictures, okay? Because as you are turned 30 years, I want to show you the picture from the time that we arrived in Mozambique, how we were, and now you see how great things God is performing in Africa during this time. And notice I have this book. I wrote a book. I'm not a writer. I am a missionary. But I put my heart while I was writing this book. And this book speaks about God's moving in my life and through my life. It's not to speak about me or what I'm doing in Africa, but it's to speak about God and what He is doing in Africa. So this book just speaks about my experience with God and people like when they read it. So you can buy it or you can give me an offering and take the book. No problem. Amen? I was telling Cleusima the whole songs today was speaking about love. And my heart is really overflowing with love to God. Yes, thank you. I have a note, but I don't want to use my note. I want to speak from my heart. I'm not using my note, okay? Once again, I want to speak about love. And I want to read a verse that, for me, this is the, how can I say resume? It's a resume? It's a summary of the whole Bible. This is the reason why the Bible exists and the reason why the Bible arrived to us, unto us. Let's read John chapter 3, verse 16. I'm very sure that you don't need to read it in the Bible. You can say it by yourself. Amen? But I want to read it. Let's read it. John chapter 3, verse 16. I love this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's also, I never know how to say this word. What? Whosoever? Whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Portuguese? Can I say it? Porque Deus amou o mundo de tal maneira que ele deu o seu único filho para que todo aquele que nele crê não pereça, mas tenha a vida eterna. Well, I want to speak about love. Because for me, love is the main reason why we are saved. And God is the main reason why we do mission. So everything is because of God's love. We go to heaven because of God's love. We love each other because of God's love. We want to share his love because he loved us first. So for me, God is the reason why I live. Love is the reason why I move. So there is no way for me to say that I love, but I do nothing to express this love. If I just say I love you, but I'm not action to make, to express this love, I'm telling you, one word will mean nothing to me, or my word will mean nothing to you. Because love is action. Amen? There is no way to love if we do not express it in action. So, before I met Jesus, I was a person so unhappy, unkind, uncertain, and so many ends that you can imagine. That was the kind of person that I was. I could not think about a long relationship. I came to Jesus, I was like 23 years old. In 1987. 87? Yeah. I came to Jesus. You know that Jesus is the full expression of God's love. So when I came to Jesus and I met this love, everything in my life changed completely. See, it was like God took me and recreated everything in me, totally. So that person that I was before, don't exist anymore. In that time, didn't exist. And something new was created. Someone new was created. And I start to love, I start to forgive, I start to understand, I start to dream about new things. And one day I was in my church It was, I think, 2 months after I born again. And I was in my church, and a missionary came from Guinea-Bissau. You know, Guinea-Bissau is one country of Africa. And this missionary came, and she was preaching about her work in Guinea-Bissau. And while she was preaching, something was moving inside of me. It was like I was listening to that woman, and I was like, wow, I just had 2 months with Christ. And while I was listening to that woman, I was like, wow, one day I will be doing the same thing that she's doing. One day I come from Africa, and I will share my experience with the church exactly like she is doing now. And when that woman called people for coming front and receive prayer and surrender their life to Jesus, to mission, I was the first one to come. And while she was praying, I had a vision. God gave me a vision. And I saw so many black people. They were held in chains. I could see their hands and their feet. They couldn't walk. They were so sad. And like something heavy was over their shoulder. And I saw their sadness. Like they were so sad and so weak and so lack of hope. And that vision made my heart start to cry and cry and cry and cry. And I started to cry. And I was like, that was so painful. I could feel the pain of those people. And when I left the church that night, I couldn't stop crying. I cried the whole night. And that night, I had a conviction that God should take me to Africa. I didn't know the country. I didn't know how to reach Africa, how to go to Africa. I was a newborn in Christ. But I was saved by God for that purpose. I knew that I had a mission. I knew that God was calling me to show his love in Africa. Let me tell you, I know many missionaries in Africa, but it's not everybody that go to Africa because they love. Sometimes they just go because it's a movement or something like that. Because when you love, you forget about yourself. When you fulfill a calling from God, because God put this love in your heart, you don't live for yourself anymore. You are just happy when you are doing people happy. You are just complete when you are making people know God's love. And that is the person that I became in that night. I couldn't think about other things. And when I was 25 years old, I went to mission, YWAM, for training, mission train, YWAM based in Brazil. And there, I started to understand what God had prepared for me. And day by day, I was really, really, and really captivated by this calling. I couldn't think about another thing than Africa, or that is not going to Africa. Everything was for Africa. I was preparing, I was praying, I was fasting, I was reading the Bible, I was trying to become a better person day by day because I knew I should go to Africa. But it's not easy to make mission in Africa. I'm not telling everything, all the process, because the time is short and I have no time for that. But I explain everything in my book. Even the marriage with Roberto. See, marriage wasn't in my plan. I want to go to Africa single. Praise God, I didn't go. He didn't allow me to go single to Africa. But I was planning to go to Africa single, not married. And while I was in YWAM, I went to the north of Brazil with a team. I was the leader of the team, and Roberto was in my team. So we went to a church that there was no evangelical church, only Catholic church. The north part of Brazil, they are really, really, really Catholic. And in that place, God started to speak about my marriage with Roberto. Let me tell you, I really fought with God. Huh? Really. I didn't want to marry, especially Roberto. He was not my kind of man. And he was so different from me. I like to talk, I like to think, I like to imagine things, and they say that I am a visionary. When I go to a village in Africa, in Mozambique or Malawi, and I arrive in that village, I start to imagine many things happening in that place. And I start to work for those things. But Robert is a quiet person, very quiet. He does like to talk. Imagine that we drive about 14 hours inside Africa in a car, and he doesn't say one word. It kills me. Because I want to talk. Sometimes I share something. Roberto, imagine if you do this and this and this. Imagine, what do you think about this? Roberto, I'm talking to you. Huh? I know some of you know what is this. definitely, Roberto was not my kind of man. But praise God that I married to him. I couldn't choose another person. We turned 30 years of marriage on 16 March. And we are turning 30 years of mission in Africa in November. And praise God, our marriage is a blessing till today. He's still quiet. I'm still talkative. But it's okay. That is good, huh? Imagine the both of us talking. Or imagine the both of us quiet. So God knows what he does. Amen? So when we arrive in Africa, in November 1991. Oh, you were so full of expectation. We were so young. I'll show you the picture. We were so young, so inexperienced. We left our country for the first time. We never had an international trip before. And I left my country, and I went to a new continent, and I was going to a country in war for 16 years. Mozambique was in a civil war. But we are full of expectation. We are going to fulfill our calling. I'm going to the place that God shared with me for about 2 years. Oh, that was amazing. But when I arrived at the border of Mozambique, I wanted to take my bag and go back to Brazil. The situation that my eyes saw in that time, it was far and far and far beyond my imagination. So Roberto and myself, we look at those people at the border. We were in the border, at the border, not inside the country yet. But you could see what was in front of us. So we start to cry. We really felt like we are nothing, we have nothing, and we can do nothing. Do you know, as human people, human being. We have this, how can I say, this facility of just look what is in front of our eyes. And the Bible says that we not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And sometimes we forget this. And when you saw the reality in that day, we start to cry. We just ask God, what are you going to do here? Why did you bring us here? Look at us. We have no money. We still don't have. We have no money. We have no experience. We are not doctors. We are not nurses. We are not engineers. Because the country was destroyed. People were sick, hungry, naked, barefoot. I said, well, what are you going to do here? I was so, how can I say, when you don't see anything good in the moment that you are living and you are going through. It's like everything that you see is negative and bad things. And so we sat on our bag and we started to cry. And that moment we asked God, what are you going to do? Why did you bring us here? We don't have money. You don't know how you deal with these things. And God, he started to speak in our heart and he said, I didn't bring you here to have a lot of money to distribute everything for these people. I brought you here because I want you to share my love to these people. I want them to know my love. Because they don't know my love. You just have to show my love. Paul, he wrote in 1 Corinthians 13 about love. Love can conquer everything. Love can conquer everything. And love can change everything. As we read John chapter 3:16, when he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Imagine if God just stopped, or this verse just stopped and God so loved. Can you imagine that? If the verse is just, because God so loved the world. Full stop. Okay, God so loved. So what? Okay, God loves me. So what? But it keeps going. God so loved the world that he gave. Can you imagine that? From the moment that Adam and Eve frustrated God's plan, he started a new plan to bring us back to him. He started a new plan to reconcile the world with him. And this new plan was he gave his only begotten son. How can you say that you love, but you don't know how to give? How can you say that you love, but you don't know how to share? How can you say that you love, but you don't feel God's heart for those who are lost? It's easy to say that you love God when you are living a comfortable life and you have a nice bank account. And you are in a country that you don't have to pay to make your test of COVID, you know? Every trip that we do in Africa now, we spend like $700, me and my husband and I, paying for COVID test. To keep doing mission, to keep going to the village, to keep helping people. So, how can you say that we love when you are not understanding God's heart? Because God's heart is full of love. As children of God, as son and daughter of God, we have to understand the heart of our Father. We have to love those he loves. And we have to worry about those who he worries about. We cannot live our life just for ourselves, like, oh, everything is fine, my family is beautiful, perfect, my life is wonderful, okay. But stop to ask God about his heart. God's heart is crying because there are so many people that are dying without knowing his love. And that is something that is really painful to God, because he loves the world. He keeps loving. He keeps loving. He keeps planning to save. And he keeps dreaming and planning for a new life for many people. And you know what? He can do nothing without his church. What I love, so many things about God, but what I love most is to understand that he wants to walk on this earth through you and me. He wants to love through you and me. He wants to share his mercy through you and me. So we are. As I say in my book, my Christ is the life in movement through you and me. We have to feel God's heart. You have to understand his love. And we have to be a yes answer to his love. He said we should love. He said to me and Roberto, I just want you to love these people. You know what? Now, 30 years after, when I look at my back, at my time there, and what we have done till now, I can see what love is able to do. We never had money. But you know what? Because of God's love, the church is in Africa doing mission with us because of love. I know when I share the God's work in churches in Brazil or here in America, the church can see that all the way that we are working together, they can see the improvement and growing of our work there in Africa. And this is not something that I can say, it is Roberta and Celia who are doing this. It's something that the church, the body of Christ, is doing. Because you are understanding God's love. Amen? So, love is everything, and everything is love. It is impossible to do mission without love. And it is impossible to love without doing mission. Sometimes your mission is inside your house, your family. Sometimes your mission is in your workplace. Sometimes your mission is in your area, your neighborhood. But still, you have a mission. You have to share God's love wherever you go, wherever, or how can I say? Is wherever. Is it right? You go. This is your mission. Even if you don't go to Africa, you are not excused. Yeah, I don't have a calling to Africa, so I'm free. You are not free. That is not an excuse. You have a mission here. And you have to fulfill this mission. And your mission is share God's love. Because he loves you. You love him. So other people need to know this love. Amen? So let me share some pictures with you. Okay. That is our first week in Mozambique. Roberta and myself. So different, né? Now we are bigger. That I was pregnant of Thais, my first daughter, and I had to a crucial time with malaria, resistant malaria, and I was like, well, how can I overcome all the situation? But Jesus was present and everything, so we went through that, and that was the first team that I trained to be missionaries. I like to train missionaries. It's something that God put in my heart, and right now we have 115 churches in Mozambique and Malawi, and all of them, they are now our pastors, they are Africans. Praise God for that. The next one, and Roberta and my daughter, Thais. That car wasn't us. Someone allowed us to use this car for a while. It was so old that sometimes there is no brake. There was no brake in that car. And it was just going 20 kilometers per hour. So it was like a turtle. So slowly, but it helped us a lot. And we had no water in our house. So we had to go far to get water, and this car helped us a lot in this time. Next. The first church that we built, after you left YWAM leadership, you went to start YWAM in Mozambique. And 7 years after, God told us to leave the leadership of YWAM and start a new ministry of planting church and doing discipleship. Because we want to prepare the African to bring those their people to Jesus. So that was a main goal of our soul mission. We start with this vision. And today you can see that it is really working. The next, that was the YWAM base that we built. So everything was new. We built everything there. There was nothing before. Even YWAM, it was the first base of our YWAM in Mozambique. So now it is a big ministry there. Next, my work with the ladies. See, these women, they suffer a lot. And I really like to spend time with them, eating with them and sharing the word and praying. It's a blessing. Next. Right, I got the new time, amen? The today. I put this church because we start this church under a tree. These brothers and sisters, they are so motivated by God and they are so faithful to God. And the church, we received some offering and we bought the land. And now we start to build a new saloon or new place for them together. We can go to the next. Okay, next. See, they have the whole week they go to the hills to pray for the building of the church. I don't know if this in this PowerPoint I have the design of the church. Let's see the next. I don't have because I put in the new PowerPoint and they couldn't open it. But we start to build a new church there. We have the foundation, but we're still praying for money to finish that church because they really deserve a nice place to worship God. They are really faithful to God. And now I want to speak about our school ministry. We have now like 1,500 kids. You know what? Before the pandemic time, the schools in Mozambique and Malawi, they closed in March last year and reopened again this March. Malawi reopened before, but Mozambique is just opening in March. And before we had like 300 kids in a school, so now we have 525 kids. Before you had like 208 or 320, now we have like 420. And so the number increase. So it's hard because, you know, these kids, when they come to school, they are thinking about the food, the meal that they will receive, but now I can't provide the meal for them. Why? Because the money that I am receiving is enough for the salaries who have to pay the teacher. Do you know what? I pay like $120, $150 per month for a teacher. That is the reality in Africa. They work the whole month from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. and they receive like $150 per month as a salary. And we have like, and we have 60 schools now in Mozambique and Malawi. And we have like 55 people working in these schools, like teachers, workers, and all this. And the money that I'm receiving is just for the salaries. I can't buy their food in this time. It's been very hard for me because in pandemic time, they don't have food at home. They can't work. The parents are not working. And I really want to keep helping them with the meal. The next, they are many, né? And they are so good, so quiet. They can stay there praising God and praying. See, every Friday they have a meeting to pray for those, the sponsors, the teachers, the parents, for me and Roberto. They pray every Friday for us, and they really pray. They are very serious about it. Next. Here, the green uniform is in Mozambique, and the blue is in Malawi. That is cool, the picture before. That is the school that River of Life support there in Malawi, okay? The money that comes from River of Life is sent direct to Malawi. So this one is in Mozambique. We have 525 kids there now. Next. So, you know, in 2019, we have a strong cyclone hitting Mozambique, the central part of Mozambique. And it was really bad. They rebuilt everything. And once again in December 2020, and once again in February 2021, we had two other cyclones. And once again, we saw things destroyed. We had to work to rebuild everything. And praise God that we are finished now. We are doing many things in Africa right now. Roberto and myself, we are here, but every week we send money to Mozambique to rebuild church, to rebuild the school, to buy food for those who have no food at home. They are suffering. So we are still working for Mozambique. We never stop. Next. Now the children are studying. They are good. Next. I'm going fast because the time is finishing. Next. The clinic is still saving so many people in Malawi. It's a blessing. So next is a Christmas time with our kids. The God gave us condition to celebrate with them last year. Next. This new family came to our project. Their son and daughter-in-law, they passed away and left these two girls with her. She has no food, no money, nothing. So we start to help her. And this week we are building a new house for her. You know, so Mission last year built like 3 houses for widow and orphans. Next. Okay, donation. You have to give some help for the population. They are really suffering. I'm not speaking about this to you because the time is short, but in from May 2020 until December 2020, we distribute food for about 2,200 families, and it is about 13,000 people. We help them with food. We are still doing this year. Next. 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 See, this is the last house that we built. This woman was living in that small place with 3 daughters. And the place has nothing. No roof, no floor, no walls, nothing. And it was raining and so cold. So let's see the next picture. We built that house for her. You see, that is a small house, you can say, but that is a safe house, it's a clean house, and for her, it is a blessing. So sometimes you think you need to have men or so much money to do something, but just spend like $800 to build a house like that. And you can make a family really happy in Africa. Next. Last year, in November, Roberto realized he baptized like 300 people, even during the pandemic time. When it is a normal time, we baptize like 1,000 people per year. Next. Next. Our school decided to introduce computer lessons to our kids. But our reality in Africa is really, really different from here. So they took that laptop and set the kids and start to show them how it works. And for them, it was something new. And so, wow, we had computer lessons. And now I start a campaign. So I receive like 3 laptops, used laptops, and I'm taking to help them to improve this because I think it's very important to them. Next. This is the design of the church that you want to build there in that place that I show you in the beginning. So that will be that church in the future. In the name of Jesus, amen. Next. Okay. That is my book. Speaking about it is in Portuguese, sorry. It said that after Jesus resurrected, he went back to the Father, but he let the seed of gospel planted in at the disciples' heart for them to continue sowing this seed. And so this is the reason that the gospel arrived until us. So you have to keep sowing until the final harvest. And in that time, you receive our reward from God's hands. Amen. Thank you for your time, for listening to me. And I want to ask you to think about Africa with your heart, because people are really suffering there, especially now during the pandemic time. And I don't accept to stop what I'm doing because of finances. That should be a shame for us. Amen? God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Can I steal it? Thank you. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you for showing the pictures. We are praying for you as a church. Yeah. So, what would a sermon like that be if we didn't give you an opportunity to give? Please understand that we're not trying to obligate you to anything. Okay. So we pass the offering plate. Just give if God puts it on your heart to be generous, okay? And if not, we're going to take care of Celia and the ministry as well as a church family together. So, but if the Lord is moving on your heart and you just feel like, you know, yeah, I think the Lord wants me to be generous, then just listen to that, okay? No necessity, no obligation. God only loves a cheerful giver, not an obligated giver, right? All right, so we're going to pray, and then where's Paul? Oh, are you good to help on this?